You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
February the 19th, 2020, I'm sure you heard the news. You said, what? What is that going to happen? I had the same reaction. Words surfacing, repeated, echoing yesterday, throughout the evening, throughout much of today. Attorney General Barr was going to resign because Donald Trump kept interfering and tweeting. The Department of Justice is shutting all that down, says no. No, it's not going to happen. How does something like that start and they get repeated over and over again without any solid facts behind it? Is exactly what Trump is labeled repeatedly as fake news. Somebody somewhere decide, what if I kind of plant this little seed and see where it goes? They probably had a good laugh as they watched it multiply over and over again. Hitting all the mainstream networks, some of the publications jumping in on it. But the Department of Justice says there is no truth to that story. But we already know how something like that can suddenly take on a life of its own because you got the mainstream media to help carry it. And then you got folks like the Hollywood elite who bring out their pitchforks anytime they can against anyone in the Trump administration. And they did so immediately when they heard the word that he might resign. In fact, then they started demanding he should resign. And just in case he's not convinced to resign, they want to convince him he should. Alyssa Milano, Mark Ruffalo, Rosie O'Donnell, all these guys coming forward and their social media followers signing a petition accusing Barr of misleading the public about the contents of the Mueller report, then making false statements to Congress, echoing what we've heard from Democrat presidential candidates Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren. That's all they're doing. And again, you don't need a fact. You do not need a fact nowadays. All you have to do is put it up in a trial balloon and watch it go. So you should always be aware when you hear something like that right away is, wait a minute. Take this hook out of my mouth. I'm not going for it. And, of course, there was a story about Hillary Clinton maybe signing on with Michael Bloomberg. That has a little bit more legs to it than we thought. And yet Hillary is still insisting now, no, I'm not going to do that. But the Bloomberg camp itself was very slow to denounce it and say it wouldn't happen. And I'm not sure really if they have so far. This guy is trying to buy the election. It's very clear, and he needs anything and everything he can to help. He is now qualified for the South Carolina debate. He'll be on the stage tonight in Nevada. And now he's also posted high enough that he can qualify for the South Carolina debate. There's a report out that Bloomberg's view of some is buying votes, specifically black votes. We'll get into that. And the coronavirus, a Chinese biological weapon that got out of control? Is that possible? We're going to tell you how some U.S. businesses are being affected by the coronavirus. Rod Blagojevich free on jail using a Trump card. Free and out of jail. Sentence commuted after 8 years. Not pardoned, commuted. Sentence is over. Using a Trump card, a Trump commutation. But let's take a closer look at what he did, what he didn't do. The history of political corruption in Illinois among elected officials. And do you know who Rod Blagojevich thought about naming to replace Barack Obama as he left the Senate? Rod Blagojevich had a name in mind, and some were saying that person would be perfect. And we might have come very close to that person being a senator in Illinois. We'll get into that for you. So tonight they're going to have this debate again. Country music star Charlie Daniels has already stepped forward telling Bloomberg, hey, Bloomberg, you and your idea about the farmer mocking farmers, all it takes is to dig a hole, put a seed in, cover it up. He said, a hog knows more about a plane than Bloomberg knows about farming. I don't think he's going to be questioned and harassed on that farming issue tonight because not one of those on the stage understand farming. But they might go after him on everything else. It could be a very exciting debate if they actually try to tar and feather Bloomberg. And it'll be interesting to see if his facade of no personality breaks down. We've got a lot to cover for you for the next 2 hours. We'll get into all of this and even more. So please let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Mustang Savage. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here is your red meat, and it might be said as simple as two guys coming together and saying, show me yours, I'll show you mine, and mine's bigger. We're talking about bank accounts, back off for a moment. Michael Bloomberg, on stage tonight in Nevada, on that debate stage. The other big billionaire that's no longer going to be on the stage and was spending a lot of money prior to the Democrat primary really getting started, prior to the Iowa chaos, New Hampshire, Tom Steyer. He's a pauper by standards of Michael Bloomberg. Bloomberg, considered the eighth richest man in the world. So when he starts dumping his cash into a campaign or anything else he wants, he's got a lot to spend. Reports that he's already spent $500,000. $500,000. And he hasn't been on the ballot officially anywhere. And tonight will be his first appearance on stage in the Democrat debate. Much to the chagrin, of course, of Tom Steyer, who's been there fighting for a chance to get on there and been on the stage, and others who have been going through all the difficult efforts of raising money from grassroots supporters, trying to make sure they can qualify for each debate. And then they got Bloomberg coming in and getting the DNC to change the debate rules a little bit to make it easier for him to get in, and now he's on the debate stage. So if it was a case of show me yours, I'll show you mine, Bloomberg has won this part, bouncing Tom Steyer off. Bloomberg might be short in stature, but he's got a hefty bank account to stand on, and that's what they're going to be facing as the Democrats move forward. And what he's been able to do with his money and spending, He basically undercut any effort Steyer had been making in trying to meet the DNC's threshold by the midnight last night to actually get on the stage. Voters can cast their ballot for Steyer in Nevada. Bloomberg's name is not on that list of candidates in Nevada, and yet he's still going to be on the stage. Steyer took part in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th debates, and obviously PO'd that he's not on there tonight. Politico is reporting Steyer's campaign crying foul at his exclusion, arguing his strength in Nevada and South Carolina is more than sufficient to warrant a spot on stage. But he's off, and Bloomberg is on. And as I mentioned in the opening monologue, word coming now that Bloomberg is also qualified for South Carolina debate coming up. Well, there's a national poll that just got released as well from ABC News Washington Post. And it claims that Senator Bernie Sanders is leading the Democrat presidential primary by 15 points. He's at 32% support. The next closest, former VP Joe Biden, 17%. Biden is down 11 points from a month ago. Do you feel the trap door opening, Joe? It's definitely open. In January, Biden was leading Sanders by 4 points, 28% to 24. That was in January. And now, nope, it's all turned upside down. Sanders is easily leading Biden among white voters and non-whites, but he is falling short among black support, where Biden is still trying to hold on. And that's why he's counting so much on South Carolina to bring him through. That's why he walked away from New Hampshire the other day, realizing there's nothing here for me. But the other issue is that New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is also rising in the polls. He is now third place, 14%. Ahead of Warren in fourth place with 11%. Buttigieg fifth, 7%. Despite strong showings in Iowa and New Hampshire, you think money is not having an effect upon the Bloomberg rep and his reach? And it's also, and we're going to get into this before this hour's out, suggested more and more often that Bloomberg is buying votes, buying the black vote. Is it as clear and as simple as saying, hey, I'll give you $20 to go vote for me? No, no one is claiming that. Not yet. But they are saying he's buying votes left and right. Can Bloomberg buy his way through the Democrat primary and buy his way to the Democrat nomination? And then the big question, can he buy the White House? He was a big supporter of Trump some time ago. Not so much now. Of course, Trump has a lot of money too. But he has not been putting his own money in to the extent that Bloomberg hasn't had to. Bloomberg has had to put money in because they don't have any fundraising campaigns in the grassroots level. I don't know of anybody that's been giving any money to Bloomberg. If they have, they haven't told me. And if they're giving money to a guy that's that rich to run for the White House, or they should be ashamed. They shouldn't be saying anything. It's one thing to give money to a candidate you believe in, even if you know you might as well burn the money because they don't have a chance. But in this case, if you're going to give money to the Bloomberg campaign, he doesn't need your stinking money. He's already proven that. And during a town hall meeting last night, Bernie Sanders said, I think it's, quote, obscene that Bloomberg is trying to buy the presidency. He's calling him out for it. Sanders said, I do think it's a bit obscene that we have somebody who, by the way, chose not to contest in Iowa, in Nevada, in South Carolina, in New Hampshire, where all the candidates we did town meetings, we're talking to thousands and thousands of people working hard. And he said, I don't have to do that. I'm worth $60 billion. I have more wealth than the bottom 125 million Americans. I'll buy the presidency. Sanders added, that offends me very much. But then he went on to say, if Bloomberg wins, and I certainly hope he doesn't, because I want to be the guy, but if he wins, I will support the Democrat nominee. Now, would Sanders take any money from Bloomberg in the general election? There's a question. Maybe we should come back to that before the end of this hour as well. He was asked that question, kind of bouncing around. I mean, do you really want to tell the guy that has the most money, I don't want any money from you? Really? And by the way, Bernie Sanders did say in that same town hall meeting, I don't think I'm going to release any more of my medical records. I'm comfortable with what we have released. He said, I've released quite as much as any other candidate. He said, we released 2 detailed letters from cardiologists, physicians from the U.S. Congress Medical Group. I think we released a detailed report. I'm comfortable. Well, of course, the issue with Bernie is that he has recently had a heart attack. Elizabeth Warren is trying to figure out, how do I work my way past these two guys, or can I? And if I can't, do I get on board with one of them? She has, in this thing last night, the town hall meeting where she was last night, basically accused Bernie and his people of creating brawls and fighting. In other words, saying there's a lot of violence in the midst of the Bernie supporters. She said, I think Bernie has a lot of questions to answer. Now, I'm particularly worried about what happened with the attacks on members of the Culinary Union and women in leadership and a recent rally in Denver, Colorado. We've already heard from numerous times from Bernie Sanders supporters that if we don't win the nomination in Milwaukee, they've been very clear. Some of their members have been very clear. We'll basically torch the city. They're talking about doing Chicago all over again, as we saw in 68. That if we don't get the nomination, there will be hell to pay. Bernie got cheated out of the election in 2016 by Hillary Clinton, when she got the DNC, which is supposed to be not taking sides in the primaries, supporting her, giving her more money, and shutting off the faucet for him. Now, if his voters see that he's being cheated out of it again and does not get the nomination, they're ready, apparently, to go to war. That's what they're suggesting. By the way, keep in mind what these Democrats stand for. If you believe in Second Amendment rights, if you are against abortion, if you are for maintaining our borders and protecting our country, things like that kind of sound American, that we can't take as American, these guys are not for that. They're not. Everyone on that stage is willing to say they're not for it. They'll flat out say it. And in fact, again last night, Pete Buttigieg was asked about firearms. Oh, they'd love to jump on this. Second Amendment rights, this is material made for the left. Buttigieg was asked, would you support raising the age to buy a firearm? He said, I would be very open to that. We have to do whatever we can to save lives. Is there any support, any evidence that these shooters, be they school shooters or any of the other so-called mass shootings, that they were children that bought a gun legally? I don't know. I can't think of a single one. There might be. I'm not going to deny it. But, of course, Buttigieg is also, he served, I'm going to give him credit, serving time for our country. And he knows if you were 18, which I guess is where they're looking at putting some of that age, you could be 18 in the military, and they're going to give you a weapon. Here, take this. Learn to shoot it. And then, of course, when it comes to supporting and protecting our border, maintaining this nation, Senator Elizabeth Warren, speaking on behalf of many of those on the left, says, quote, everyone who is here illegally must have a path to obtaining American citizenship. In other words, give the voting rights, which is really what they're after, to the 11 to 22 million illegals currently in the U.S. She wants to make sure they all have an American citizenship, which in turn means they can vote. Buttigieg just said the same thing. He said the U.S. belonged to illegal immigrants as much as the country's citizens. Should I repeat that for you? He believes this country belongs to illegal immigrants as much as it does to U.S. citizens and legal immigrants. They want to turn this country over to anyone and everyone. And, of course, they'll do what they can to mock you and make fun of you. They have no problem with that because that's part of their DNA as well. As I said, Charlie Daniels, country rock legend, when Bloomberg made fun of farmers, saying it's just so simple, you dig a hole, put a seed in, how intelligent you'd have to be. Charlie Daniels points out again that he knows as much about farming, Bloomberg, as a hog does about a plane. We'll take a break. Is the coronavirus a biological weapon out of control? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Drinking dark whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on a Saturday night. And don't you cross your heart unless you hold the dime. Drinking dark whiskey, telling white lies.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The number of confirmed cases in the coronavirus outbreak currently racing across China and the globe, more than 75,000, and I'm sure it's pushed already beyond 100,000. More than 2,000 have died. Thousands of others have recovered. There is a question, if you recover from coronavirus, can you get it a second time? Apparently no one knows for sure, but they think that once you have it, you might be immune. There are a lot of questions about this thing. What is it? Where exactly? I'm coming out of China, out of a particular area, and a food mart in that area. Was that part of it or not? Now, Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, is raising a question. Was this something the Chinese were working on, a biological weapon, and it got out of control?
We need to demand that China open up and be transparent so a team of international experts can figure out exactly where this virus originated. We know it didn't originate in the Wuhan food market based on the study of Chinese scientists published in The Lancet, a respected international science journal. Now, I'm not saying where it started. I don't know. One reason we don't know is because the Chinese Communist Party won't open up to international experts. That's what they need to do so we can get to the bottom of where this virus originated.
And I think that's key. But, of course, you've got mainstream media, again, trying to run around and say, oh, look at him, laugh at him. He's making it all up. It's the sky is falling. Senator Tom Cotton just saying it's all the Chinese, a biological weapon. Well, he in turn said, look, you're mischaracterizing my comments. He said, I simply think that we need to raise some questions. There's a lot we don't know going on inside of China. Now, China and others deny that it's anything that came out of a lab. Some insist it has no marker indicating it was man-made or created. Other experts, not so sure. They go back, and the question is very real. Was this a biochemical weapon in production or being studied, created, or simple research that got out of control?
Again, that's not saying that this was a bioweapon, but we do know they were investigating and researching coronaviruses in that laboratory. It could have been an accidental breach. It could have been a worker that was infected. My point, Martha, is that we don't know, and until we get all the evidence from the Chinese Communist Party, it is only responsible, not irresponsible, to keep an open mind about all hypotheses.
Now, again, he referred to a Rutgers University chemical biological professor who said he found no indication in the virus to indicate it was engineered. But Cotton also said the same guy cited in the Asian Times saying it's quite possible it was a lab incident. It is scary. And we still don't know and are not allowed to have full access in China to see. And we still don't know what's happening inside North Korea and its border with China, which is often porous for smugglers going back and forth. We do know the concern of this affecting U.S. businesses and how it's already done so. I'm going to be joined by the special guest coming up. You'll want to hear his input on this issue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We welcome back, and my guest for this hour is Don Buckner. He's the founder and CEO of MadeInAmerica.com. Don, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Let me begin by letting you have a quick statement as to what is Made in America. What exactly is that?
MadeInAmerica.com at the moment is a big trade show that we put on every year. Last year we had our first one in Indianapolis. We had 270 manufacturers, all shapes, all sizes, from all parts of the country, come and celebrate making products in the United States, and just had a big time, and we're looking forward to doing it again this year in Detroit, first week in October.
Now, there is no doubt that some of those same manufacturers, I assume, at some point use foreign goods as ingredients or help assemble, ship back, things of that nature. Is that correct, or they do it only in the U.S., only U.S. products, only assembled, only ingredients in U.S.?
No, absolutely. This is a very serious ripple effect. Many of those Chinese factories are actually shut down.
Well, I'm not getting into coronavirus yet. I'm asking how many Made in America, when we say Made in America, really is fully created ingredients made, produced in America. A lot of companies have to have some exchange. Is that right?
That part is true. There's a lot more than you think. The FTC actually is the regulator. They determine, they have a standard that they set for manufacturers to actually put a Made in USA label on the product. So there's a lot more than you think. A lot of them are not necessarily larger manufacturers. They're the smaller ones that take a lot of pride in making sure that their product is 100% or very close to being 100% Made in USA.
Okay, so now we come to this issue with coronavirus. And what it has certainly shown us, aside from manufacturing, our dependence and our concern about pharmaceutical products. I know you've got some first knowledge of that as well.
So yes, that's probably a very hidden factor, unknown fact, that the pharmaceuticals, in large part, have gone offshore with their production. So to give you a stat, 80%, China controls 80% of the essential components for our pharmaceuticals. It's a very critical situation. We no longer have any what they call grow houses, meaning we don't create any antibiotics in this country. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lady, Rosemary Gibson, who wrote a book called China RX. I recommend everybody to read it so they can understand.
The other thing, of course, once we move away from pharmaceuticals, is everyday life for Americans also involves transportation and cars. And I saw a report the other day that some of the factories and so forth, they cannot get enough workers to their assembly plants to put together what they need, which would then be shipped to the U.S., either in part or whole, to be finished off here.
So that's true. So there are two plants, GM plants, that have already shut down in Michigan because they can't get, one's in Michigan and one's in Texas. They can't get all their components, and all it takes is one component that they couldn't get, they can't get. And in the world of what they call just-in-time deliveries, nobody has any inventory. It puts a critical situation that those plants actually had to shut down. So I think that's just the start of what's about to happen.
That's my next question, because we've already had some concerns that we're talking about something that could be affecting the global economy. And if you start having that shut off, then the ripple effect inside the U.S. with the U.S. plants and U.S. workers, you paint the scenario.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the ripple effect, many of those factories have already shut down. They have no in China, and that affects our production. So we have to figure out how to complete our supply chains here. Like I said before, all it takes is that one component, and there are businesses that are, for instance, the coronavirus has put a shortage on the surgical masks. That's a separate issue, but surgical masks are actually a shortage, if non-existent, in a lot of cases. So we have situations that are turning very critical very quickly.
I think what we're all seeing is that we have had and maintain a much greater, deeper reliance on China than many of us would have thought.
You're exactly right. So the trade deal just went into effect very recently, and the amount of money that China was supposed to spend on all the ag products, for instance, they got 2 years to do that. Well, I think that's going to throw the ag industry in a tailspin in this country, because they're not going to take those products immediately if ever. And there's a force majeure clause in that agreement that says if there's any acts of God or unforeseen circumstances, they can back out of that deal. So it's a pretty hairy situation.
Well, with that in mind, of course, are you saying this president has, by his pushing a tariff war on China and everything, has accelerated a problem or helping solve one?
So President Trump is reinstating tariffs that were in place prior to 2000. When President Clinton gave China most favored trade status in 2000, prior to that, we had tariffs in place that protected U.S. manufacturing for 100 years. And that leveled the playing field for U.S. manufacturers. We have a lot higher costs here to produce our product, from higher wages to insurance to lawyers to regulations and all the things that manufacturers have to comply with here that are not, manufacturers don't have to do overseas. So those tariffs maintain that level playing field, and those tariffs President Trump is trying to put back in place, is reinstating those. We all know that the free trade experiment was a failure. We lost 4 million jobs, good paying jobs. And we're in the process of trying to turn that back around, and that's what the tariffs would do, is level that playing field back out. So it's going to take it took us 20 years to get here, and it's going to take us another 20 years to turn it around.
You're listening to Don Buckner, founder and CEO of Made in America. MadeInAmerica.com, you can check out their website. Now, if it's going to take us another 20 years to really turn it around, that's tough on some businesses that are barely hanging. You mentioned the farmers. I'm all for giving farmers subsidies. If we're going to bail out big banks, say they're too big to fail, I'm for supporting the little guy and the farmers as well. And I'm not necessarily talking about the massive farm conglomerates, but still, if we're going to go through this, there will be some pain and hurt.
No question. We have become very reliant on these imported products. If you look at the trade deficit and the amount of money that's leaving our country, by itself is a significant issue. Every time we buy an imported product, we're actually funding our enemy. And so we have to consider that when we, as consumers, look at that product, we not just consider price and quality, but we must consider origin, and then think of it as our patriotic duty to spend our dollars on American. That's the ultimate goal of our mission.
But when you look at places, and I'm going to throw out big name box stores, Walmart, Costco, and so forth. Everyone goes in, they go to those places because they look for the cheapest price. Is that always American made?
No, that's been the issue. So we have become addicted to these imported cheap products, kind of like opioids, and we have to figure out how to wean ourselves off of those. And we have to educate ourselves as consumers and demand that these big box stores start offering U.S.-made products, and that's the only thing that's going to turn it around. You can change consumer behavior by raising the imported prices with tariffs, and you can also change consumer behavior by educating them the importance of spending their American dollars on American products to save American jobs.
So while we're dealing with the coronavirus and whatever impact and immediate or future impact it might have, and we look at our trade imbalance and trying to get tariffs and basically stabilize and level the playing field, you also have the intellectual property theft that we'd face with China.
You're exactly right. So very shortly, we're meeting with the top gentleman with stopfakes.gov. And so that's the copying of that and all the intellectual property that's being stolen. So that has to turn around. That has to get straightened out. There has to be fines. There are a lot of issues and a lot of ground to cover in regard to legislation. And we have to get some legislators with some backbone in order to stand up to the Chinese. The Chinese are the number one lobbyist group in Washington, so you can imagine who's got their ear.
Well, let's talk about lobbyists and inside Washington. What we see from the Democrats is a push for minimum wage hikes, saying that that's what we want, minimum wage. Former McDonald's USA CEO Ed Renzi is arguing that these 2020 Democrat candidates' proposed minimum wage increases will damage small businesses and lead to higher prices for consumers. Your take?
Well, we've already seen that happen. The areas, I want to say Oregon and another location, I want to say it was New York, the businesses are dialing back the number of hours that they actually need employees, and they're also not hiring their employees. They can't afford to have the employees and train them on the OJT, train them on the job. So they're dialing back the hours. So it's actually hurting. And the other side of that coin is it causes inflation. No longer will we have the hamburgers be $3 or $4 or $5. They'll be $10 because it costs at the end of the day, the consumer is going to be paying for that $15 an hour. The business is not going to absorb the $15 an hour.
Oh, and 15 has already been surpassed. You got guys like Tom Steyer saying raise it to $22 an hour.
Always trying to outdo each other. So if the cost of living goes up, so does your cost. Your wages go up, so does your cost of living. So it's all relative. If your wages go up, the cost of living goes up, and it's going to cost you more to live. Just it doesn't balance out.
That's what most of us understand. Some on the left don't. Don, again, thank you very much for your time, sir. Wish you the best.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. Don Buckner, founder, CEO of Made in America. You can check out their website, madeinamerica.com. Let's turn our attention back to Bloomberg and his effort to win the presidency on the Democrat side and the whole issue of buying votes. Please stand by.
Like, ooh, I'm burning, bury me till I confess. She wants to dance like, This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So tonight they're going to have this debate, and Michael Bloomberg's going to be on the stage. We're going to give you a full recount of it tomorrow, so you don't have to bother watching. We'll take care of that for you. And also Dr. Gerard Lomero is already booked to be on with us tomorrow on his take on what goes down on the debate stage tonight. Will it be a food fight with the Democrats? And will it be everybody in the face of Michael Bloomberg? Or will they decide to cool it a bit? I don't think they're going to cool it. They're at a point now where if they don't make themselves heard and stand out from the rest of the crowd, this is going to be a losing proposition for sure moving forward. They've got tonight's debate, and then the Nevada caucus. The voting's already underway. It wraps up this Saturday, and then Sunday. And then the South Carolina debate is coming up the last day of this month, the 29th, on a leap year, and Bloomberg's already qualified for that. As I had mentioned earlier, Senator Sanders is absolutely shouting out against millionaires and billionaires. Keep in mind, he's a millionaire on his own right. And he thinks that Bloomberg is trying to buy everything. He said, I am going to defeat Trump by any means we can, but these people coming in trying to buy it now, it's wrong, wrong, wrong. But then he got asked, would you accept a large contribution from Michael Bloomberg if you end up getting the nomination? You think Bernie would jump on that money right away? Well, his answer is, well, what I did say is if Mr. Bloomberg wins, I certainly hope he does not, I will support the Democrat nominee. As of right now, we don't have a super PAC. We're not asking for a super PAC. That's my position right now. And the question again came to him, so you're not sure if you'd take the money or not? And at that point, Sanders remained silent. So they said, okay, we'll just leave it there. Sanders would take money from anyone at that point, and understandably. But is Michael Bloomberg buying this election, at least among the Democrats? A lot of name recognition comes into play on a national election, obviously. And it comes into play on each of these states they're going through at this point. Nevada tonight, South Carolina, then we're into Super Tuesday. Bloomberg has been hitting the Super Tuesday states hard and beyond some of their borders over and over again, spending something like $500,000. And his numbers among the black voters is ticking up, which means Biden might not win South Carolina, which he was counting on. I'm looking at a piece put together by one of the political analysts pointing out that black voters are concerned, number one, with who can beat Donald Trump. When you look at Michael Bloomberg on his face, he's a candidate who has the resources to go toe-to-toe. That's an attractive option for black voters. And then a Democrat strategist said, I hear from black voters, elected officials across the South, and the Bloomberg ads are everywhere. He said most of them trying to target people with who hate Trump the most, and some are just simply saying, I'm the guy. One of them said, one of the folks doing this, this Democrat strategist said, I asked my own grandmother, a black woman in rural North Carolina, how many Bloomberg ads she's seen. Her answer, I can't count them. He's on all the time. And he said, my grandmother's a fan of the messaging, even though she does intend to vote for Biden in the primary. But this strategist points out you're watching the haves and the have-nots, and Michael Bloomberg on your television 16 times, it's that many ads, and after a while, yeah, it starts to resonate. Skipping primary states didn't hurt Bloomberg because it meant nothing to him. Now you got Senators Cory Booker and Kamala Harris. Black candidates got knocked out before Iowa because of funding issues. They didn't have the money to stay in there. And this strategist for the Democrats says this is conveying to black politicians and black voters there's a ceiling that can be broken if you had the money to do so. He said, what this says to black people is that unless you're $10, $20, $100 million, or even $1 billion, you're not viable for president. That's among those would-be candidates in the black populace. And it's also reference those voters who are black. We'll see in the postmortem if Bloomberg has basically bought whatever black votes he has simply because he was in their face constantly. And, of course, he, like many of the other liberals, are offering all kinds of free stuff. And then we have our sanctuary cities that continue to say, just open the borders, let everyone in. I want you to hear what the California governor says when it comes to working with federal immigration law. And then we're going to show you how some states that have very few immigrants are paying for illegals over and over again. And then Rod Blagojevich, former governor of Illinois, gets a commutation. Should he have gotten off? Should he still be in prison? We'll take a look at Illinois politicians that spent a lot of time behind bars.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.